Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I am so thrilled to have my dear friend and just a guy I've always had massive respect for. And I want to introduce you guys to Chris Work. Chris, welcome so much.
Hey, Dave. Good to be with you, buddy.
So for those of you guys who don't know Chris, this is a book that I have. This one's called Chris Beat Cancer. He also has the most amazing Square One Healing Cancer Coaching Program. I absolutely love that. And I think the coolest thing for me, Chris, is I've had the opportunity of getting to know you over the years. You're a member of Inner Circle. You spoke at Funnel Hacking Live. And I've always had just amazing, crazy amount of respect for you just because of what the journey that you went through. And now I have even more respect for you because I'm trying to live your footsteps of exactly how to get through this crazy thing that I've been on. I want to, again, on this podcast, we're going to have the opportunity of talking a ton about the books, things you've gone on. But really, first and foremost, I want to say if anybody wants, I would say right now, Chris Beat Cancer is the book. Easiest place for them to get is where?
Amazon. Yeah. Okay. Amazon, most major bookstores. Yeah.
Easy enough.
Easy to find. It's an easy book.
Easy to find. It's very well used. Yeah. But really, I think the part, Chris, as we take a look at kind of what happened to you, and I think is, you know, people who are listening to this, you might be a business owner. You might be someone who's just new to this whole thing and you're going, well, how exactly am I going to use this? I think one of the things I've learned so much from you is when you go through a challenge in your life, you actually turn that challenge around to make it a super, super positive experience. And it actually, the rest of your life was led basically going through and following, again, all the stuff that you went through. And people are going to be much more excited to hear from you than they are me right now. So with that, Chris, I'd love for you to kind of talk to people exactly how does this whole thing get started and where's it going?
Yeah. And before I tell my story, you know, I love what you just said because you know, obstacles come into your life for a reason, right? They come into your life to be overcome. And sometimes the obstacle is insurmountable and you can't overcome it and it forces you onto a new path. So it's one or the other, right? You're either going to overcome this thing and defeat it, or it's going to force you on a new path. Either way, it's coming into your life for a good reason. It's going to make you wiser, stronger, smarter, more patient, right? More resilient, healthier. So you know, this is a universal principle, not just about business struggles or health struggles. And I think it's so important that when you encounter difficulty and obstacle that you can just step back out of the emotion, right? Because when obstacles happen, it's not good news, right? It's bad news. It's frustrating news. But if you can just step back out of the emotional state for just a moment and say, okay, this is not good. I don't like it, but this is happening for a reason. And I'm going to choose to believe that something better is coming, right? That something good is going to come out of this. I'm a Christian. It says in Romans 8:28, God works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And so that's an incredible promise, right? That God is going to work everything for your good, right? And you don't need that promise when things are going good. Okay. Like you don't need it when things are great. Like you need it when things are going badly. And the Apostle Paul who wrote it, man, he had been shipwrecked 2 times, beaten to the point of death, imprisoned, persecuted, you know, and yet he's saying God works all things for your good. So that was the first verse that, you know, I remembered that came to mind after my cancer diagnosis, which happened in December 2003. And I was 26 and, you know, I was really excited about my life. Things are going really well. I've been married for 2 years. I was in real estate. I was buying rental property. I built up a portfolio of about 34 houses. And, you know, I was just on my way. I was just a young entrepreneur excited about life. and excited about building a business. And I was a musician and I was playing in a band and writing songs and playing shows. Like I was just, you know, things were great. The future was bright. And then here comes the cancer diagnosis, you know, like the worst possible time. Everything was going so well. And just a little bit of the backstory, I'd been having abdominal pain for the better part of a year. It just, you know, off and on, just this weird abdominal pain I'd never had before in my life. But it was sort of an aching sensation, and there would be a little shooting pain every once in a while. But it wasn't constant. It would just come and go. So I just, you know, it was easy to live with it. But it progressively got worse, and eventually I went to the doctor, and then they passed me around until one day I found myself at a gastroenterologist who did a colonoscopy and found a golf ball sized tumor in my large intestine. Now, if you're colon cancer is one of the fastest growing cancers. And what I mean by that is it's more people are getting colon cancer than ever before. And it is highly preventable through diet and lifestyle, but also through colonoscopies. So they've even lowered the age. It used to be starting at age 50. Now they're saying at age 45, you should get a colonoscopy because they can find a polyp and snip it off. It's painless. And that little polyp will never become a colon tumor. So that's a little PSA for everybody on colon cancer. But anyway, look, I was 26. So I was, cancer was not on my radar. I didn't know anyone who had had cancer. And here I was a couple of days before Christmas with a cancer diagnosis. So that sucked. And they wanted to rush me into surgery right away, like literally the next day. And I was able to, I basically was like, look, can we just postpone it till after Christmas? Like, this is the worst news ever. I'd really like to not be in the hospital on Christmas. You know, call me sentimental, but can we not? And they said, yeah, that's fine. So I went in on December 30th. It took out a third of my large intestine, took out the tumor. That's obviously where the tumor was, and a bunch of lymph nodes, and said, when I woke up from surgery, they said, it's worse than we thought. You're stage 3C. If I was stage 2, I could have had surgery and gone home, and that's the end of it. It's over. But stage 3 means it's spread to your lymph nodes. It's on the way to your liver or your lungs. And they said, you're going to need 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy. So things went from bad to worse. And that was the first conversation about chemotherapy, you know. And two things happened in the hospital that were a little strange and got the wheels turning. One was the very first meal that they served me after taking out a third of my large intestine was a sloppy Joe. Personal favorite of Dave's, I know. And, you know, the sloppy Joe is just such a funny food item because restaurants don't serve them, right? Because nobody likes a sloppy Joe. Nobody wants one. No one's asking for one, you know. And as far as I knew, the only place you could get one would be a summer camp or the military, and definitely in prison, right?
Oh, yes.
Definitely in prison. And I'm like, why are they serving this horrible, just industrial cafeteria food to sick people, right? To cancer patients and people who have had heart attacks and, you know. So anyway, that was a bit of a red flag. And then a few days later, I was recovering well. And they said, okay, today you can go home. And my surgeon came in to do one more round with me. And we were just having a conversation about what was next. And I said, hey, you know, is there any food I need to avoid? Because I was thinking, okay, they just took a third of my large intestine out. Everything you eat is going through there, right? Everything's going down the tube and coming out the other end. So I don't want to eat the wrong thing and like screw up the surgery, right? Like dissolve the stitches with hot sauce or, you know, whatever. So I asked him, is there any foods I need to avoid? And he's like, nah, just don't lift anything heavier than a beer. So yeah, it's like, that was it. That was all the advice I got from my abdominal surgeon. And And so that was a bit of a head scratcher too. And I started to, you know, sort of had this discomfort with the fact that there was no emphasis on health or nutrition or anything in the hospital or from my doctors, you know. And I had a background in healthy stuff. And what I mean by that is my mom was into health. She would go to the little hole in the wall health food stores and was always taking supplements. And we'd have weird stuff in my fridge that my friends would make fun of, you know, like sprouts and kefir and, you know, wheat germ. And there was one, like my buddies used to tease me because I don't know when it first started, but they were like, the funniest one to me is one of them was like, hey, let's go over to Chris's house and get some Park Help, which was some random product my mom had that I'm assuming had kelp in it. I don't know what else was in it. So anyway, I knew what health food was. But she wasn't like a hardcore, you know, hardcore crunchy mom like today. Like she wasn't vegetarian or vegan, or my first birthday was at a McDonald's, you know, so it wasn't like that. She wasn't like a militant health mom, she was into health and she'd never had any health problems. And so, and I worked at a Wild Oats when I was in college, which was bought out by Whole Foods. So I worked at like a natural grocery store and they had organic produce in there and a juice bar. And so I was familiar with that world. Now I wasn't in that world. I was a junk food connoisseur. Memphis is the home of beer and barbecue. So, I mean, I'm not kidding. I prided myself on knowing the best hole in the wall barbecue joints in the hood, right? In the worst parts of town that had the best barbecue. And I would go out of my way to them and then, you know, brag about it. I was just eating tons of processed food, junk food, meat and dairy. And I've always been thin, so I've never worried about my weight. And anyway, so I was not leading a lifestyle that was conducive to health or cancer prevention. And what we know is that up to 90% of cancers are caused by three factors: diet, lifestyle, and environment. Up to 90%. Genetics plays a very small role, very small, 5 to 10%. Sometimes scientists think it's like 2 or 3%. So, but the problem, and I'll touch on the, don't let me forget about this because I want to circle back to this, but the problem is that most cancer patients, when they go to the doctor and they get a diagnosis and they say, why did I get cancer? How did this happen to me? You know, they're told, well, we don't know, but it's, you know, it may be genetic or it may just be bad luck. And unfortunately, what that does psychologically to a patient is it is the doctor is telling them there's nothing you did to contribute to your situation. Therefore, there's nothing you can do to help yourself, right? Your only hope is to show up for treatment. That's it. That's your only hope. And no, you don't need to change your diet. No, don't get on the internet. No, like you don't need to do any of that. No, you don't need to take supplements. You just make sure you're, you know, on time for your appointments, for your treatments. And that basically creates a powerless victim, right? The patient becomes a powerless victim of disease. And that, in my opinion, is malpractice. It's negligent medical malpractice because the scientific literature, there is so much information on cancer prevention and healing, anti-cancer compounds in food, diet and lifestyle practices that strengthen your immune system, that improve survival. There's so much research on it, and it's just ignored, right? Yeah. It's published, it's peer-reviewed. There's more research than you can even read. It's that much. And, you know, I do my best to summarize it in Chris Beat Cancer, right? To summarize a lot of what I think is just the best research, the most exciting and compelling in my book and in my course. And so, but anyway, I didn't know any of this, right? I didn't know any of this stuff. And so I go home from the hospital. I'm recovering on the couch. I'm sobering up, getting off the pain meds. And as I did, as I, you know, started to kind of get my wits back, I was thinking about my life and my future, and you know, the idea of poisoning my way back to health was, it's kind of scary. Like it didn't make sense to me. So I made a decision well, I didn't really make a decision at that point, but I had a increasing internal resistance, and I have peace about what I was told I had to do next. So I prayed about it. My wife and I prayed together, and I was like, God, if there's another way besides chemotherapy, please show me. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm lost. I'm confused. I, you know, help, right? Just a sincere prayer of desperation and asking for help. But also, you know, it wasn't like, God, if you're out there, I mean, you know, I am a believer, right? It was like, and so I also exercised my faith, believing that, again, that he would supply all of my needs, that he would work this for my good. So I was putting my faith in with that, you know, the request that help me. And so 2 days later, I got a book that was sent to me from a man in Alaska who was a friend of my dad's. And he sends me this book, and it was written by another guy who had healed his colon cancer with a radical change of diet and lifestyle. And so I start reading this book, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it was just that one man's story was enough to spark the hope and inspiration and empowerment in me to change my life, right? Because I'm like, okay, this guy healed, this guy survived, and he didn't have surgery or chemo. Like his body just healed, but he did a lot of stuff to help himself. And I was like, well, he's human, I'm human. He had colon cancer, I had colon cancer. Okay, like I'm doing it. So overnight I converted to a raw food diet and started juicing, bought a juicer, and just started this process of radical life change. And, you know, I mentioned diet and lifestyle and environment being the major causes of cancer. This is just so huge. The biggest driver of cancer is our Western diet. Tons of meat and dairy, tons of processed food, junk food, and sugar, salt, and oils. You know, these are foods that our ancestors didn't eat. And this is a diet that there are many countries in the world that still don't eat the way we do in the U.S. They're not eating all this industrialized food. And they have much lower rates of cancer in other countries. Mexico, half the rate of cancer. The rate of colon cancer in sub-Saharan Africa is like 50 times lower. And it's, you know, so you can look around the world. There's a database called GloboCan, and you can look at countries around the world and compare their cancer rates. And I do geeky stuff like that. But the point is, there are many countries around the world with half the cancer rates, a third of the cancer rates, of 20% of the cancer rates, and on as the U.S. So that's sort of like the bubble that needs to be popped, right? We're getting cancers, more cancers than other countries, and there's a reason. So diet is a big driver. Then the second driver would be lifestyle, and there's some obvious ones. Cigarettes, number one cause of cancer. Alcohol causes cancer. Not exercising, being overweight or obese, contributes to cancer. In fact, obesity is the second leading cause of cancer. And, you know, they don't talk about this on the news because it's become impolite to talk about obesity because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? But hey, the truth hurts, and guess what? The truth will also set you free. And cigarettes are the number one cause of cancer. Obesity is number two. Now, the reason obesity is the second leading cause is because when you're overweight or obese, you have a lot of excess body fat. And those fat cells produce hormones like estrogen. And estrogen fuels cancer growth in excess. Right? There's a small amount of estrogen that men have, women have more, but when you have excess estrogen, it fuels cancer growth. When you're obese, it's a burden on the entire system, and obesity creates immunosuppression, right? Suppresses your immune system. And a lot of people don't think about, I mean, a lot of people, let me just say, now people are hyper aware of immune system, right? Of immunity and your immune system because of the virus. But guess what? Your immune system also protects you from cancer. You have specialized immune cells, killer T cells, that identify and eliminate cancer cells in your body. That's their job. And so when you're in a state of unhealth, overweight or obese, your immune cells are slow and sluggish. They're impaired. This is scientifically documented. In fact, they actually become obese themselves. These immune cells take up fatty acids and it makes them slow and sluggish. And that's not what you want in your body. You want an immune system that's full of young, healthy, strong, and fast soldiers, right? That's the army you want. You don't want an army of old, crippled, and overweight, tired cells. Because when that's the situation, you are setting yourself up. Your body is an environment where viruses, bacteria, fungus, other pathogens, and cancer cells can thrive. So your internal terrain, right, can either be hospitable to cancer and infectious disease or inhospitable. And it's all about the immune system. That's the difference between a person with tumors and a person with no tumors. It's their immune system. So these are more things that I didn't know anything about in January 2004. Okay. But I did know it, what did make sense to me was this idea of overdosing on nutrition was proposed by first one book and then another and another and another. And it was like every source I found at that time, which was all books, by the way, it wasn't anything online, were saying the same thing. Raw foods, fruits and vegetables, go back to the Garden of Eden and eat organic raw fruits and vegetables and juice carrots and overdose on good stuff. Right, give your body an abundance of the raw materials that it can use to repair, regenerate, detoxify, and heal. And I'm like, this sounds like a good idea, right? I love this idea. It's crazy. I didn't know anybody who was a raw foodist. Now you get on Instagram and there's all these beautiful people on the beach in bikinis and, you know, and they're raw food influencers, you know what I'm saying? But that was not a thing. In January 2004, the raw food diet, as far as I could tell, was a diet for weirdos and sick people, right? That was it. And so, but I embraced it because I was excited about this prospect of like, what would happen if I ate this way, right? So I changed my diet overnight, and that's something anyone can do, right? Anyone can change their diet overnight. Anyone can do that.
Well, thank you for your diet because I did that.
I know you did.
I followed you to the T. Every single thing you say, my wife has basically bought in my entire life as far as everything I eat. My entire diet is based around what you've recommended. So I thank you a ton.
I know you're doing it. And I'm so excited because, you know, only good things come from fruits and vegetables, right? They're only good. There's no harm. They can only help you, which is a wonderful thing. And so, I started down that path and that was the first step. And then, you know, obviously I was looking at my life and it's like, okay, well, I wasn't smoking, you know, I wasn't a smoker, but I'm definitely not drinking any alcohol now. And I need to start exercising because I learned that exercise boosts your immune system. It strengthens your immune system. It improves detoxification. It improves your mood, right? You release feel good chemicals in your brain when you exercise. And so it's an incredible antidepressant. And so I started exercising every day. And then from there, I started systematically working through my life and identifying everything that could be contributing to cancer or disease and removing those things and replacing them with health promoters. So there were some things I could do very quickly. Like I said, change my diet overnight, started exercising right away. But the other things took time, right? It takes time to sort of clean out your house and get rid of all the toxic crap. And it takes time to really work on the mental, emotional, and spiritual stuff, right? The toxic negative emotions that may be swirling in your soul. And that takes time to work through. And so in the beginning, I didn't pay any attention to that. I didn't realize it mattered. But as I started reading more and more books from survivors and integrative cancer doctors, holistic healers, you know, this kept coming up, right? This idea that that suppressed emotion or unresolved negative emotions and stress, how profound an impact they have on your health. And they don't make you sick overnight, but they can make you sick over time. right? If you're in a state of constant chronic stress, anxiety, unhappiness, bitterness, resentments, insecurities, guilt and shame, right? These are all negative emotional states. And of course, fear and worry, right? Anxiety, the what's happening in the world right now at unprecedented levels. And so life is stressful enough before cancer, then you get the diagnosis, that's a stress bomb. And now you're dealing with that anxiety and fear.
Sure.
And so every day I learned that I had to give my fear to God. I just had to surrender it, and the fear would creep in. And every time it crept in, I would just have to stop in that moment and say, okay, God, I'm not going to be afraid. I trust you, right? I'm giving you my fear. And I would just practice a little gratitude, which is the secret. You can diffuse any negative emotion with gratitude. And so I would just say, you know what? Thank you for my wife. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have enough money in the bank to pay the next set of bills. Thank you that I'm not in the hospital, right? Dying today.
You know, Chris, I can tell you the one thing, as you mentioned that, it has been the greatest. I shouldn't say the greatest, everything's greatest right now, but it's one of those things that I remember a crazy trial I went through financially, it's been 12 years ago, but I remember the importance of gratitude. And every day, I think it was Tony Robbins who originally mentioned it to her, that his program, but it was the idea of you start every single morning by writing down five things that you're grateful for. And it totally changed my attitude, which by changing my attitude and my focus, it actually changed the results that started to happen. And I love how you're mentioning this again around cancer. I literally see it in every aspect of anyone's life. No matter what trial you're going through, you have to start off with gratitude. And it's hard. It's super, super hard because you're like, no, I'm angry. I was angry at a business partner. It stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from me. And I was like, it's wrong. And went through all this. And I just realized it wasn't until I started going through this idea of gratitude. And so I'd love, you don't mind kind of expound on this idea of how to actually do it and how to get real results out. Because I remember when I first started, I just wrote it down and I'm like, you got to feel it too. So
writing it down is a great practice. Absolutely. But even better is learning to literally flip that gratitude switch in the middle of emotion, right? In the middle of the frustration or the anger, right? The person cuts you off in traffic, or they send you a mean tweet, or right, they're rude to you or whatever. Like right in the middle of the feeling is you just stop and you just back yourself up, kind of like I said earlier, and say, okay, wait a minute. That's not cool. All right, I'm mad about that, but let me just take stock real quick on all the good things in my life. Let me just take a minute to think about how great my life is, right? I've got a wife who loves me. I've got a roof over my head. I have clothes to wear. I have food to eat. I can do it all day, right? I have two beautiful children. I have a car. On and on. And so that really, if you just make a list, right? Just go through the list. Start counting. I can see. I can hear. I'm not deaf. I can walk. Right. I nobody's bathing me or feeding me. And I talk about this I have a devotional called Beat Cancer Daily. And there's one entry in there, which is my sort of gratitude secret weapon. And this is how I reset my emotions and attitude in like that is I just have to go right now. There's someone dying in the hospital that would give anything to trade places with me. That's it, yeah. Right? That's it. That's the gratitude hard reset right there. It's like, oh yeah. 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 There's a lot of people that would love to have my problem right now. You know what I mean? Oh, they're dying. They'd love to trade places. This is nothing, right? This problem, it's okay. We'll get through it. Not going to let it steal my joy or ruin my day. And so that is the practice, the habit that I had to develop quickly, because the fear and the worry and the anxiety were, you know, constant, right? The cancer fear was constantly trying to creep in every day. It was constantly trying to creep in. And, you know, you get busy working. The best thing, you understand this day, the best thing ever is when you're just busy working and you're focused on something and it's great and you forget that you have a cancer problem, right? Yeah, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, everything's good. And then like, you know, and then you, you know, you turn on the TV and it's like some, you're watching some movie and one of the characters gets cancer and you're like, oh, oh yeah. Like the very first movie I saw after my diagnosis, went to the movies, you know, to escape for a couple hours. The very first movie, one of the, it was a movie called The Butterfly Effect. One of the characters gets cancer.
Of course.
Like, oh man, come on. So anyway, but that is really important, is giving, I learned how to give my fear to God just constantly. I was just constantly surrendering my fear and saying, I trust you, right? You're in control. I trust you. Just show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to change. And I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm moving forward, and I'm counting my blessings. So as simple as it sounds, it is so incredibly powerful. Those two things is trusting God, giving him your fear, and practicing gratitude when you don't feel like it, right? In the moment when you really feel like just, you know, exploding, festering in anger, sending a mean email back to somebody or message or whatever. You know, someone was really rude to my wife today and she showed me online, you know, and she showed it to me and she was trying to decide whether to respond. And I was like, you know, don't, just let it go. Let it go. So anyway, that's the gratitude rabbit trail. But these are the harder lessons that I learned that I couldn't, I couldn't develop that habit overnight, but I started working on it. And the more I did it, right, the more I did those things, the more joy and peace and contentment I found in the most difficult season of my life, cancer. And from there, I ended up connecting with a naturopath and an integrative oncologist and slowly cobbled together a support team. Most of the people around me did not understand why I chose not to do chemotherapy. And there was a lot of pressure to do it. And doctors put pressure on me and family members. And it was really hard because I felt abandoned. You know, I felt alone. And it was like, I think a lot of people watching this can understand, like, it's just, it's like being an entrepreneur, right? I was already an entrepreneur in real estate. So I had that free spirit, right? Mm-hmm. I had that willpower and determination and maybe a little bit of stubbornness that like, I'm going to do this my way and I'm going to listen to my instincts and my intuition and I'm going to figure this out. And so that's really how I've been most of my life. And so I kind of approached the cancer thing the same way, although I wasn't aware that I was doing that at the time, but in retrospect, right, it was like, yeah, I'm just wired that way. So like that's just the way it was going to go for me. But anyway, but it was still really hard emotionally, you know, because I felt like nobody understands what I'm going through and they don't even support what I'm doing. And so that I had to just let that go and just be like, okay, if I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do it alone. And so it was hard. That was hard emotionally in the beginning, but things change over time. And, you know, people who think you're crazy for doing something they don't understand, when you're successful, they call you a genius. That's a pretty good feeling, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, look at ClickFunnels. So, so you have that to look forward to, right? Right. Things change and people change and, you know, you have to follow your convictions and sometimes you have to chart your own path in life. And I had a sense that, you know, if I could get through this, if I could hack my way through the jungle, that I could maybe help other people get through it. You know, maybe I could be a light in the dark for other people, but I didn't have any plans to write a book. I didn't have any plans to create a course. My plan was to survive. That was it.
Sure. Yeah.
And all that other stuff came years later. I started a blog called Chris Beat Cancer almost 7 years after my diagnosis. Wow. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm a cancer patient. Look at my blog. Like, no, I mean, I waited I didn't even know what blogging was, first of all, but I waited a long time because I really wanted to get well. And that was my focus. And then once I got well, then I started to, people were asking me constantly, like, what did you do? Like, you know, just all of a sudden they were wanting me to talk, you know, people wanted to know what I had to say. And so I was like, I guess I'll put it on the internet and, you know, maybe I don't have to tell my story so many times. that was clearly a bad assumption, horribly incorrect assumption about the way the internet works. But anyway, yeah, I started writing articles and just sharing my story and talking about juicing and nutrition and food and, you know, the cancer industry and things like that. And it just grew from there. And then in 2018, I published my first book, Chris Beat Cancer. So that was 15 years after my diagnosis. Like, that's not the fast track, right? That's not the advice you're going to get in Expert Secrets, okay? Wait 15 years to share your story, or even wait 7 years to share your story and then another 8 to write a book. But I took the slowest possible turtle path. We have this joke, hashtag turtle power, which is like, I'm really, everything I do, it takes forever.
But it's working.
But anyway, so that, you know, there's a lot of things that happened along the way, which of course I talk about in the book, and I talk about all the specific things I did nutritionally and how I changed my diet and lifestyle and, you know, and exercise and sleep and supplementation, like all this kind of stuff. That's too detailed to do in an interview. But the point is, I radically changed my life. And I was willing to give up everything that I loved, right? All my bad habits, my bad attitudes, junk food, in order to get well. And that really is the big message, right? Is that if you have a strong will to live, which I did, then there's really nothing, there's no excuse, right? There's no excuse that works if you want to live.
Yeah.
Some cancer patients, you know, have a life circumstance where they're, you know, cancer is actually kind of a relief. Sure. And they're kind of, you know, they've just kind of had a tough life, or maybe they're old and they're, you know, they're content with their life. And so they're in a different situation. But for the person who still feels like they have a lot to live for and they want to live. And I think it's really important that you get clear on what you have to live for, you know, and this is not just cancer. Like, why are you doing what you're doing in life? Right.
Totally agree.
Right. What is your why? That's a very common thing. What is your why? Well, like, well, in the cancer world, I'm like, what do you have to live for? Like, what is it? Do you want to live? And what do you have to live for? Is it to raise your kids? Is it to see them graduate college? Is it to meet your grandchildren? Is it to build a business? Right. Is it to end world hunger? Like, you know, what is why? Like, why do you even need to be here? And once you get clear on that, then it really becomes fuel to your fire, right? That's what pushes you forward every day when you're tempted to give up or quit or go back to your old junk food, you know, diet, or, you know, do not exercise just because you don't feel like it, right? It's determination that's going to push you forward. Motivation is, you know, fickle.
Yeah.
Some days you feel motivated, some days you don't. Like, you can't rely on motivation. Like, you go to Tony Robbins seminar, like the next week you're on fire, but you know, that's going to fade. You know what I'm saying? It's going to fade. So it's like, determination is the quality that you want, that you need. And that determination just does it. Doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. You just do it because you see the end, right? You've got the end in mind. There's this common expression, begin with the end in mind. And for me, the end is Healthy Island. So I like to tell people in our community, you point your ship toward Healthy Island, right? Every day is different. There's wind and waves and storms, and sometimes you get knocked off course, but you just got to right the ship and point it toward Healthy Island. That's what you do every day. And it's that consistency of taking care of yourself in a way that you never have before that creates momentum. Right? It's the snowball effect, right? Every day, saturating your body with nutrition, exercising, reducing your stress, prayer and meditation, forgiveness. Like, these things are so powerful and transformative and healing if you do them. And the beautiful thing is that all the stuff I'm talking about is basically free. You know, you the most powerful therapies are free, right? They're free if you will do them. Yeah. Food, faith, forgiveness, fasting.
Well, I can tell you, I'm trying fellowship. All of those.
Yeah. Fellowship. They all start with the letter F.
Yeah.
And, you know, fitness. There's another one. So that's the coolest, you know, part of it all is like that this is not something that's reserved for the rich or, you know, for some special person in a special circumstance or privilege. This is a message for every person, is that you can radically change your life. And if you do, you will get different results, right? Massive action produces massive results. You got to take massive action though.
Yeah.
Minimal action, minimal results. Like, what'd you expect? Like, yeah, you didn't do much. You're not going to get much. But we've been conditioned, unfortunately, you know, I think to look for a quick fix, right? A magic bullet. What's the shortcut? You know, can I just take a pill and fix this? Right? No,
yeah.
But you can fix it, right?
No, I totally
you're gonna
agree.
Have to do a lot more, right? And so we have a lot of folks in our community who are doing conventional treatment, but it's what happens in between treatments that makes all the difference. Healing happens at home. And so you're not a powerless victim, right? You have autonomy and freedom, and you can sow seeds of health that will produce a harvest. And, or you can sow seeds of disease, either one, right? You can cross your fingers and do nothing and hope for a good outcome, or you can take massive, proactive action, right? Positive action to direct and influence your future. So, you know, my message is, let's do that. I think it's a better plan, right? I think it's a better plan than go home and just eat pizza and cupcakes and ice cream and feel sorry for yourself, right? And do nothing. So we have a vibrant, thriving community of folks that think the way you and I do, right? That are excited about changing their life. And cancer is a wake-up call, right? It's the divine tap on the shoulder, and it's a hard reset to your life. It's a hard reset, and it just has this beautiful way of giving you so much gratitude for things that you never took time to appreciate, and gives you clarity on really what's important in your life. And the list of important things gets very short after cancer. It's a very short list. All of a sudden, you don't care about any of that crap that you cared about before. Right? It's like such a short list now. It's like, so the expression that I wish I'd come up with, but I didn't, which is that, you know, the healthy person cares about everything and the sick person only cares about one thing.
Yeah.
It's getting well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once you get well, you can start caring about other stuff.
But well, Chris, I can tell you, for me, I have learned so much from you. And I think the friendship over the years has just been an added bonus. I can't thank you enough. I really can't, for all that you've shared with my audience. I've had a lot of people asking, you know, how do you actually, what should I be doing? And does it really matter? And so many people have reached out. And I can't thank you enough for everything. I'm kind of curious, as you take a look at, you know, the next steps here and things, when you're trying to go to, people are really trying to find out more, where's the best place? Just go to chrisbeatcancer.com? Yep.
Well, Chris Beat Cancer is a great place to start, because I've interviewed dozens and dozens. I mean, I've got hundreds of articles and interviews on there. Doctors and scientists who are just absolutely brilliant. Cancer survivors with remarkable against the odds healing stories. Like, it is, Chris Beat Cancer is just a repository for encouraging information and helpful resources. So that's a great place to start. Of course, my two books, Chris Beat Cancer and Beat Cancer Daily, are on Amazon and in bookstores. And then I have a course called Square One, which we're actually putting free online. When does this air? When does our interview air?
I think this will air next week. So
okay, perfect. So yeah, my course. So periodically, I put my course online for free, and it's 10 days, and anybody can opt in with an email address and tune in and watch all 10 modules of my course. It's the whole course. And so we do that to give back and serve the cancer community. Wow. I've actually given free access to my course to over 1 million people since 2017. Yeah, we just crossed that threshold. A million people have signed up to watch in the last 4 years. Isn't that crazy?
That is. So where do they get that?
Let me think of the best place. So if you go to chrisbeatcancer.com, there will be a link to, there will be a banner or a link or something there to sign up to watch the Square One program for free. So that'll be the easiest place for folks to go to find the link to get free access to the course. But I wanted to touch on something you said a second ago, and now I think I've lost it. But what did you say right before you were asking me about, you know, where can people find me? Do you remember what you said?
I don't. And I blame it on all the crazy stuff I'm going through. My mind is kind of short right now.
Yeah. Right. Well, anyway, you said something and I was like, oh, I'd love to touch on that because that was such a cool, you know, point that you made. But anyway, what I said earlier about momentum. It was just kind of furthering that, is that it's kind of like when you said people are like, does this really work or does this really help? Here's the analogy that I think is easiest for someone to understand. Everybody knows if you go to the gym one time and work out, you get no benefit, right? But if you go to the gym 3 days a week or 4 or 5 days a week, after a month or two or three, you got major progress.
Yeah.
Like you will be stronger. You will notice, like you can't not get stronger, right? If you're just doing just basic, like fundamental workouts, right? Bench pressing or whatever, you will get stronger. If you run every day, your stamina increases. And so everybody knows, like, yeah, if I do physical stuff, I get stronger and fitter. Well, it's the same thing with nutrition, right? Every single day, if you really focus on hardcore nutrition and supply your body with these vital raw nutrients that it's not getting from McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or Pizza Hut, right?
Yeah.
There are thousands and thousands of phytonutrients in fruits and vegetables, antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and then all of these other anti-cancer compounds that your body craves. Like it needs them, it wants them, it will use them if you give it, right? If you give them to it, okay? And one of the biggest, you know, a lot of people think about nutrition is like, oh, you just don't want to be deficient, right? You don't want to have a deficiency in vitamin B or vitamin D or vitamin C. But this is not about just not being deficient. This is about giving your body an abundance for optimal health and the strongest, most robust immune system possible. And so we're going way beyond just giving yourself basic vitamins and minerals. But anyway, you get all that from fruits and vegetables. And so when you do that day in, day out, you get the same type of progress and growth and regeneration that you do when you go to the gym every day, right? It is happening, even though you may not necessarily feel it right away. Usually people do feel pretty good though. Within about a week or two of changing their diet like this, they start to really feel good, sleep good, lots more energy. I mean, just clear-headedness, on and on. And then weight comes off. You know, if you've got excess weight, it's easy to lose. So to answer that question, yes, it absolutely does work. It will change your life if you do it.
I love it. Well, again, Chris, I can't thank you enough. I'm actually coming down to the end of this radiation and oncology and all this stuff. At least the phase will be over in the 14th of October, and I can't thank you enough.
Great.
I cannot thank you enough. I'm actually got an oncologist doctor's appointment I got to run off to right now for my weekly one, but I can't thank you enough just for your advice, but most importantly, your friendship, and you just care so, so much about people. And again, Chris, anybody who's listening to this, please, chrisbeatcancer.com is the place I would go. Go to Amazon, get Chris Beat Cancer there, get Beat Cancer Daily. Any other parting words?
You know what? The thing I like to close with is just this really simple idea that your choices matter. You know, your choices matter. And if you make good choices, you will produce good results in your life. Like, you're not a victim. You're not powerless. Like, you have the power to influence your future and to create an incredible, healthy, wealthy future, right? With hard work and discipline and dedication. I know a lot of your audience is more in the business world, right? Building businesses and entrepreneurship. But if you treat your health the same way you do your business and you invest in your health, you're going to reap rewards of health down the road. And so plan for tomorrow. Eat healthy today, exercise today, because you want to be healthy tomorrow.
I love it. Chris, thank you so much. I can't wait to talk to you again soon, bud.
You're welcome, Dave. It's a pleasure.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved all the value of that podcast. Speaking of value right now, one of the things we're really trying to do is over-deliver. And the thing we've seen that has probably created the greatest opportunity for us to over-deliver to all of you, and that is our One Funnel Away Challenge. In fact, you can actually see it at clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. Again, clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. If you've gone through the One Funnel Away Challenge in the past, this is something totally new. We started the One Funnel Away Challenge back in 2018, and it is now 2.5 years later, we decided to completely redo it. Everything brand new. Simplifying the process, making it just as easy as possible for you to get results quick. Just spend 30 minutes every single day, and what you're going to get is Russell teaching you exactly what you need to do to get your funnel up and running in the next 30 days. So go to clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. You can get all the details there. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.